What if we all came to church on one day, November 3rd, today? What if we all came to one place, Cross Church? And what if we all came with one heart? Can you imagine that? All in one place, all in one day, all with one heart. A heart that is willing to obey God. Just think what God may choose to do among us. Many times when we talk about the next great move of God in our church or the nation, we may talk about that relating to something huge and big and bigger than even in our own imagination. But it doesn't matter whether you study history or you know what's going on today around the world. Any move of God always begins with you and with me. Something out there cannot become something in here unless I want it to be in here. Doesn't matter how good it is and how powerful it is, it can never hit me, be a part of me, wear on me, change me, do something in me, unless it starts within me. Just what if on this day, God wanted to do something so powerful that it would serve as a catalyst, a catalytic moment that would propel and accelerate our region, our nation, for God? What if? What if? What if today you came in this room and you're a mess? Just a mess. We've all been there before. We will be there again. What if we came in this room today and we hurt? We hurt. We're disappointed, discouraged, even some despondent. What if we came in this room today, our families about to break up? What if we came in this room today and our marriage is on the brink of disaster? What if we came in this room today, and I mean we have children that are far away from God, or it seems like our kids are falling further and further and further away from the will of God in our life. I mean, just what if that would happen? Just what if in this day and on this day you have an addiction problem? Maybe you have an addiction problem towards drugs, alcohol. Perhaps you have a problem with sex. Keeping it all in order, you're being consumed. What if you walked in this room today with a habit, with a sin that you always find yourself going back to God over and feeling enormous guilt about? What if you have the greatest disease in American life today? I call it the isms disease. Skepticism. Criticism. Cynicism. You cannot spiritualize any of that. None of that honors God. None of it honors God. And yet it permeates who we are. I mean, what if you walked in this room today and you've been abused, hurt, taken advantage of? What if you walked in here and you don't have any faith in the church and you don't have any faith in God? You don't even know if God really is alive. You're just going through the motions trying to find something in your life. What if that's you? What if you have a physical problem? They've told you there's no way you're going to live. Or maybe you have a temporary problem physically, and it's setting you back. It's become an encumbrance to you, a weighty barrier for you to try to carry, or is in your way in life. What if? What if on this particular day, God brought you in this room at this time, at this place, in all of history, including your own history, to do something about that? What if? It was quite a day when Jesus walked among some people and he learned some news that devastated him. He learned some news that set him back. He learned some news that really burned him greatly. Jesus had heard that one of his dear friends on this earth had been murdered, killed, slain. When Jesus heard it, I mean, he just wanted to get away from people. This was the same friend that really took a risk on Jesus when no one else believed in him. And everywhere he went, he told everyone, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." It was the same friend that took such a risk on Jesus that he said, "Behold, this one, this Jesus, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of all the world." Think about that. This is the same Jesus that with the same man that with his own hands he took Jesus and he baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. I mean, could you imagine the challenge and the joy, but yet the humility of having the Son of God wanting you to baptize him? And when he pushed back, he went ahead and went obedient, and then he said, "I'm not even worthy to tie your sandals, much less baptize you, and much less to follow you. You've got to increase, and I've got to decrease." Well, there was a sick leader who had a sick family. Who made a deal. And it cost this man's life. His name was John the Baptist. They took him and they murdered him. You know how they murdered him? We're not talking about, I'm not sure any murder would be good, but they chopped his head off. And there was such a sick culture and such a sick society that they took that head and they put it on a platter and they came and showed people, "Here he is, John the Baptist." Man, when Jesus heard that news, it broke Jesus' heart and he wanted to get away from the people. The Bible says that the disciples took him and they put him on a boat and they tried to get away from the people. And sooner or later, after they were on the boat, after they had sailed for a while, they showed up at a place, and when Jesus got there, I mean, it was loaded with people. They were watching him and they were following him along the seashore. I'm not talking about a few. I'm not talking about just intense. I'm talking about, no, not even hundreds. I'm talking about thousands. I mean, they wanted to be in the presence of this one. They didn't even understand who he was. And when Jesus, even though he wanted to be alone, he was in deep grief over what had happened to his friend, feeling somewhat responsible for it. When he saw the masses, he was moved with great, great compassion. I mean, I'm talking about something that took over him, a moving within his soul, within his emotion, that when he saw them, it just moved his heart beyond his own imagination. And he wanted to help them, and he began to teach them, thousands of them. Did you hear me? Thousands of them. Ministering to them the words of life. A crisis emerged. The day had gone on. The disciples came to Jesus and they told Jesus, they said, "Hey, these people are hungry. Now listen, this wasn't a part of this plan, Jesus. You let them go, send them away, let them get some food. We want to hang with you, man. We want to hang with you." And Jesus said, "Oh, what's the problem?" "Well, they're hungry. They need to be fed." But I can just imagine them going on. "You know, Jesus, I mean, look at all these people. We're talking about thousands, Jesus. And we can send them to all of the restaurants, all the cafes in town, and they at once, and they'd all back up. There's no way they could get food. And I could go and make an order for 10,000, 20,000, however many there were, perhaps even 25,000 people. But that would take a little longer, in 20 minutes or so. And, you know, Chick-fil-A is going up, but it ain't done yet outside of town." And Jesus told him something. And I want to tell you what he told him. The account is in the Gospel of Mark in the 6th chapter. The Gospel of Mark is the second gospel in the New Testament, the second book in the New Testament. The Bible says these words in chapter number 6, verse 35. "When it was already late, his disciples approached him and said, 'This place is a wilderness, and it's already late. Send them away so they can go into the surrounding countrysides and villages to buy themselves something to eat.'" Listen to what Jesus told them. "You give them something to eat," he responded. And they said to him, to Jesus, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" Now, there were thousands of people here. 200 denarii, what is it? It's a year's salary. Now, let me make it real clear. Those disciples did not carry around a year's salary in their pocket any more than you did. And you do. They had a problem. They didn't have the money, and if they did, there weren't enough restaurants to take care of the order. And Jesus asked them, he asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." When they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 and 2 fish. I was talking with a friend about this, one of our pastors recently. He made a very good observation. He said, "You know, have you ever thought about it?" He said, "I really think there were more people there with food than this one little boy that one of the other gospel writers talks about." There's no biblical evidence that his assessment is correct, but he's probably right in that assessment. Perhaps the boy was the only one who was willing to what? Give to Jesus what he had. Because most of us, when we're hungry, we take care of ourselves. We don't take care of others first. And then he instructed them to have all the people sit down. in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. And then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. He kept giving them. Think about it. We're talking about a gift that kept on giving. He kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. What? All. Everyone ate and was filled. Listen carefully. That word filled does not mean that Jesus sustained them until with a snack until they got home that night. It means that they were not just satisfied. They were more than satisfied. They were abundant with food. Using American terminology, they were bloated. And then they picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. 12. I wonder why not 15. I wonder why not 6. I wonder why not 25. I wonder why not more. I wonder why not just 1. I wonder why any. How many did he give or have? How many? 12. How many disciples did he have? 12. I wonder why. I'll tell you why. Because Jesus wanted to give every one of those disciples a full basket full and tell them, you see, you give me what you have, and I give back to you more than you can even eat yourself. Oh, listen. The Bible says that there were 5,000 men who were fed. Oh, but was this men's night? Was this a men's conference? Oh, no, no, it wasn't a men's conference. If you read the other gospel writers about what they say about it, there were others. Their wife and their children were with them, with many of them. This could have been a miracle for 20,000, a miracle for 15,000, a miracle for 25,000. It could have been that many people that walked away full. Did you hear me? Full. Completely full. You see, Jesus created a crisis where those people had to come to the basics of understanding that every one of us need to come to again today. Some of us perhaps for the first time in life, others of us to return again and again and again to the reality of this story. Jesus brought such a crisis among the people that they finally had to admit to Jesus, we cannot do this. What did he tell them? You feed them. We can't do this. Lord, there are 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 or more. Lord, we cannot feed them. And he also brought them to the place where the world cannot do it. The world cannot do it. They understood the world could not supply this need. What enough restaurants? What enough opportunities? Was no fast serve service? No. There wasn't any delivery boys. This was prior to pizza, we think. But what did Jesus bring them to? Not only that I cannot do it, and not only can the world cannot do it, but what did Jesus bring them to? To the point where they brought Jesus what they had. That's what he did. And guess what? Jesus did a miracle when they did that. Did you hear me? He brought a miracle and did a miracle among them when they did it. Not a miracle of one, but a miracle of thousands. Not a miracle for just a few, but a miracle for thousands. But listen carefully. The miracle of the miracles is not only did it for thousands, but he did it for each one of them. Well, I want to tell you today, he can do anything he wants when he wants to do it. And he is ultimately sufficient in every situation. I want to ask you today if you would stop long enough in your life, If I had the time, I would love to lead you through an extensive process of what I'm about to lead you through for about 3 minutes. I would like for you to take time today and stop long enough and zero your mind in here enough and to focus enough that you would begin to identify the biggest problems in your life. Would you do that? I mean, what's the biggest problem you have personally? What is it? Personally, what is your biggest problem? Is there a struggle? A habit? A sin? An addiction? An attitude? What is your biggest problem? I'm talking about you personally, not anybody else. You. What is it? Disappointment? Pain? Abuse? What is it? What is it? Do you need to be healed? Is it something big? Is it something small? I mean, what is it that you need? What is it that is problematic to you? Personally. Here's the bottom line is if we don't deal with our problems personally, they become obstacles in God dealing with our lives and God moving in our lives. And would you then move on to your family for a moment? What is the biggest problem in your family? What is it? Divorce? Single parenting? Children away from God? Pain? Loss? Hurt? Disappointment? Grief? Despair? What is it? Family life models what we need the most, but family life can be one of the most painful experiences we all go through. Even at its best, there will be disappointment. Even if it's best, there will be brokenness at times that leaves us in great despair. What is it? What about in your job? What is your biggest problem in your job? Is your problem a lording boss? A boss that places upon you unrealistic expectations, who beats on you, who ridicules you, who demeans you? Is it a woman outside of your office who is your assistant? Is it you're a lady, it's your boss over you or around you, or maybe some people below you who don't think you can cut it because you're a woman? What is it? I find the more people I talk to in life, they don't even like their job. They're not fulfilled in their job. They just don't like it. They just don't like it. They don't get excited about getting up in the morning. To them, it is a true J-O-B, a job, big job. And there's nothing that brings them joy in it. And they're just in a rut, rut after rut after rut. Why do you stay there? Why do you do it? What's going on? What about professionally? What is your problem? Maybe you've gone up as far as you can go. You can't. There's nowhere further. Your salary's peaked out for the position you hold, and there's no way you're going to be raised up. You know it. Maybe your age discredits it. Maybe you're just not gifted. Maybe you have such a positive self-awareness, you know that even you and your greatness, you're limited. Most people are not aware of their limitations. I mean, it's reality. I don't know what your problem is today and relating to those things or more, but I have a proposal to you today. What if? You admitted to Jesus you can't do everything on your own. What if? What if you admitted to Jesus you cannot do everything on your own? That process I just talked about and working through those things personally in your family, your job, your professional life, I worked through that this week. I didn't want to work through that. But I did because I knew I would have nothing to say if I didn't do it. And man, when I finished, yes! Yes! Because I knew in the reality of that, I had to go to Jesus and admit to Him, I can do nothing on my own. I can't do anything on my own. And what if you admitted to Jesus, listen to this, that the world cannot supply everything to you? What if you did that? I'm telling you, some of you, you really believe this world could satisfy you. You live like it, you believe like it. You buy into it, you sell your soul toward it. I want to notify all of you. I have buried the poorest of the poorest, and I buried some rich people. And I want to tell you the truth. The same thing is true for all of them. They did not come into this world with anything, and they're not leaving this world with anything, period. And it doesn't matter how much money, enough health care could not have saved their lives. Because of our sin, we will die one day. It's the ultimate penalty of our sin on this side of eternity. And none of us can escape that unless the Lord comes back before we die. I'm telling you, we need to stop looking to the world that the world's going to satisfy all of our issues. I tell you what, it totally sobers us up. When we go to God in prayer and we tell God, God, I know that this world cannot give me what I'm asking you for. Wow. Are you there yet? Well, what if you just gave up and you brought it to Jesus today? What if? What if you gave up and you brought it to Jesus? Wouldn't that be amazing? And you brought your need to Him, you brought your problems to Him, and you just gave up. Well, what if you gave Jesus the greatest asset He has this side of heaven? You just gave Him yourself. Lord, I recommit myself to You. I'm in. Well, listen, that's really what He wants. Because when He has you, it changes everything. And what if, when you did all that, what if, my friend, Jesus gave you a miracle? Wow. I mean, what if He gave you a miracle? Wouldn't that be incredible? I mean, what if Jesus brought you here today for you to bring to Him all of your problems personally and in your family and in your job and your profession and with other people. And you just brought them. And what if Jesus brought you here to bring them to Him and you just said to Him, okay, here I go. And Jesus just shows up and gives you your miracle. Let me ask it another way. What if you brought your specific problems to Jesus and you admitted to Jesus today? What if you brought your specific problems to Jesus and you admitted to Jesus today, I cannot do this on my own? You see me? I got good flesh. I didn't say I look good, but I got good flesh. Biggest problem I have is me. Releasing me and going under Him. We've all got good flesh. And we are our biggest problem. And what if you brought all that to Jesus and you admitted the world cannot do this? Man, what a moment for me to admit the world cannot do this. What if I bring each of them to Jesus? What if I bring each of them to Jesus? And what if Jesus did a miracle for you? And a miracle for me? A miracle is something only God can do. This is not about you going here, trying to make things happen, manipulating this person, motivating this situation, changing the dynamics of this. No, trusting God is stopping that junk. It is flesh. And yes, we need to work hard, and yes, we need to do what we can. But I want to tell you something. Some of us need to give so much up that we say, Jesus, okay. Okay. I can't do it. And people can't do it. And this world can't do it. And I'm telling you right now, He's brought you here, I really believe. What if He brought you here today to do that in you and for you? I really believe He did. I really do. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament, I guess because I love this place when I go to Israel, one night the disciples were hanging out on the boat and they were going across the sea. Things got pretty tumultuous and they got real fearful. And all of a sudden, they saw something out there. And they thought it was a ghost. But it was Jesus walking towards them on the water. And they couldn't believe it. And they were so amazed at what Jesus did that Peter, I want that. I want to be with you. I want to come out there. I want to be with you. I want to do what I see you doing. And Peter, what did Jesus tell him? Come. Come. You ever been on the water in the night? I like to be by the water. I'm not a big guy that likes to get in the water. I've been on the water at the night time. I've been out there where the sea was choppy and the waves were licking up on the side of the boat. Needless to say, I was not comfortable at all. But I can't imagine that as soon as Peter said, I heard Jesus say, come. Here's Peter. He's got all these guys around. You're crazy. Peter puts that first foot up on the side of that boat. I'm going, boys. I'm going. No, you're an idiot. No, no. Don't, you can't do that. I'm going, man. I'm in. And Peter literally steps on that water and he walks toward Jesus. Can you imagine that? What a miracle. And oh yeah, I know Peter, he started sinking there for a moment because he started looking at everything around him. But oh, listen, don't forget the faith that it took him to ever start. And don't forget that when he did sink, Jesus did the same thing for him that he does for all of us. He reached down and he rescued him. I really believe with all my heart today, Jesus is saying to you about your need for a miracle or miracles. Same thing he said to Peter. Come. Come. And I can assure you that when you do that, and if you do that, Everything in you will cry against doing it. Everything around you and people around you may even say, why is he or she doing that? But I just do not think it is God's will for you to walk in your addiction, to walk in your abuse, to walk without deliverance and liberty in your life, to walk through life without that. I just don't think that's God's will. God wants you to be free. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be blessed. God wants the best for your life. And even if you have a sickness that God so wills that will ultimately lead you to death, he wants to walk with you all the way to the end of that sickness. And whatever your need for a miracle is, from financial to family to job to professional, to whatever it may be, I declare to you in the name of Jesus today, God is saying to you, come, come. And come starts just like where it did with Peter. Right there. Don't go. You're crazy. I'm gonna get it. I'm going for it. I'm going for it. No, no, yeah, I'm going. I'm trusting him. He said, come. Every time he's told me to do something and I do it, he sees me through. I'm coming. And that come, you know where it begins? I'll tell you where it begins, choir. I'll tell you where it begins, band. I'll tell you where it begins. Those of you on the balcony, those of you on this bottom floor, I'll tell you, those of you who are watching television, where it comes. I'll tell you where it comes, those of you watching the web today. I'll tell you where it all comes. It comes with you starting to put your foot on the side of the boat. And that's what I call just stand. It all starts with standing. Yeah, I need that miracle. I want that miracle. Maybe God has brought me here. Maybe this is the day. I know I've prayed and prayed for it, but maybe, what if today was that day when God did it in me? And then that come. He says, okay, you're on the side. Just start walking toward me. And Peter started going toward him by faith. That's exactly what many of us in this room need to do. About our problems, just start walking toward him. And when you arrive, what if you unpack your feelings to Jesus? You say, Jesus, I know I can't do this. I know the world cannot give me what I'm asking you for. I declare that. It's not just words. I really believe it for the first time. And I take what I have and I give to you. Please, Jesus, please. But it all starts with come. Anybody here today need a miracle? It starts with you standing to your feet in faith. It starts with walking and coming toward me. Not me, but him. It starts with believing, because I want to pray that God gives you that miracle today. Who will stand? Who will begin to come? Our God is able.